And it's a great read. And there's some, hopefully we can get on it maybe for Midrash tomorrow, you know. If you're not quite understanding, because it's dealing with prophecy. So that's why it's really a little tough to understand what he's talking about. So, but I did take a few notes just to talk about it and share for tomorrow. So it's really some good stuff. But the top is in the Porsche. Jacob, or Yaakov, his Hebrew name, returns to the set-apart land after 20 years staying in Haran. And he sends angel emissaries to Esau in hope of reconciliation, but his messengers report that his brother is on his warpath with 400 men. Let me tell you, right there, he was rattling in his boots. Well, I know they didn't wear boots, but figure of speech. But we're gonna get on that, huh?
Sandals.
Oh, yeah, he's rattling his sandals. There you go. Not his boots, but his sandals. Oh, Lord, you would rattle too. If you've been gone for 20 years from your land, and when you left, the last thing you remember is it was your brother wanting to kill you, and all of a sudden you're about to meet up with him after 20 years for the first time in 20 years, and he got 400 men with him. Yeah, I'd be shaking in my sandals too. Yep. Jacob prepares for war. I thought that was kind of funny. He prepares for war. What are you going to do with just a few servants that he acquired, a few female servants, a few male servants, and you got four wives, and you got a dozen children? Well, 11, yeah, a dozen children. How are you preparing for war? So I thought that was a little tricky there, but anyway, this is what he, because you're going to see in the scripture, he used military statistic style to try to, but we'll get to it. Pass for war, praise, and send Esau a large gift consisting of hundreds of heads of livestock to appease him. That's some other good stuff to get on. That night, Jacob wrestled his family and possessions across the Jabbok River. He, however, remains behind and encounters the angel that embodies the spirit of Esau. So if you don't understand that, that's Midrash. Because, look, trust me, I'm like, okay, this is taking me for a loop here. What do you mean embodies the spirit of Esau? But that's something to talk about tomorrow. Put that in y'all's notes. With whom he wrestled until daybreak. Jacob suffers and a dislocated hip, but vanquishes the supernatural creature who bestowed on him the name Israel, which means the one who prevails over the divine. Jacob and Esau meet, embrace and kiss, but part ways. Jacob purchases a plot of land near Shechem, whose crown prince, and also called Shechem, abducts and rapes Jacob's daughter. I know it's Dinah. Is it Dinah? Dinah. Dinah, Dinah. Dinah's brother, Simeon, and Levi avenge the deeds by killing all the male inhabitants of the city, after rendering them vulnerable by convincing them to circumcise themselves. Jacob journeys on. Rachel dies while giving birth to her second son, Benjamin, and is buried in a roadside grave near Bethlehem. Reuben loses the birthright because he interferes with his father's marital life. Jacob arrives in Hebron and to his father, Isaac, who later dies at age 180. And Rebekah has passed away before Jacob's arrival. Okay. Our Porsha concludes with a detailed account of Esau's wives, children, and grandchildren, the family histories of the people of Seir, among whom Esau settled, and a list of the eight kings who ruled Edom, the land of Esau, and Seir's descendants. And we're probably not going to get to that. I'm almost positive. But look, there's a lot. It's a lot of great information, stuff that, you know, we take our time and we go home, and what we don't cover tonight and what we don't cover tomorrow, we'll try to cover as much as we can during the Midrash. But, you know, it's homework. A lot of this stuff is homework. This is why we get them. You know, we had this one last year. You can listen to some of the five from last year, and some it's great stuff. But like I said, it's just a lot of information. Okay. So what I want to do right here is just pause from that. And that's slide 8. Let's go to the reading. You'll follow along with y'all's Bibles or whatever y'all have as far as reading material. All right. And Yaakov, Genesis 32:1. And Yaakov went on his way, and the messengers of Elohim met him. He know that y'all already got this planned out. But you're going to see where we're going to talk about fear. And how I mentioned it Wednesday night, it grips everybody. And there's a way that, there's a couple different ways we can look at fear. One is out of reverence and respect, and one is just downright fear, and we're going to get to that. And when Yaakov saw them, he said, "This is the camp of Elohim." And he called the name of that place Mahanaim. And Yaakov sent messengers before him to Esau, his brother, in the land of Seir, in the field of Edom. And he commanded them, saying, he's commanding these messengers of Elohim to go before him. And Yaakov sent messengers before him to go to Esau, his brother, in the land of Seir, the field of Edom. And he commanded them, saying, "Say this to my master Esau." Now Esau is showing fear as a respect right here, because he's calling his master Esau, even though it was foretold that the older is going to serve the younger. But we see out of respect how he's humbling himself. Out of both sides of fears. One out of respect, and the other one is fear because of his life. "Your servant Yaakov says this, 'I have sojourned with Laban, and stayed there until now. And I have bulls and donkeys, flocks, and male and female servants, and I have sent to inform my master to find favor in your eyes.' So the messengers returned to Yaakov, saying, 'We came to your brother Esau, and he is also coming to meet you, and 400 men with him.'" Right there, I guarantee he's gonna got weak in the knees, weak in the legs. I know what it feels like, because when Pastor says, "Look, hey, I'm gonna need you to do this, have the service," you feel it. I do. Like I said, I felt it at last just Wednesday, that the reading, when I knew about it. And you can feel the weight and the pressure that comes on, because not a fear I'm afraid, it's just you're accountable. I'm in a spot to where I have to watch my words carefully. Watch how you say things, how you act. Like you said the other Wednesday night on what Rachel said, her words, how she just brought a curse upon her. So let me tell you, this week was It's a very challenging week. And look, and now we're up to I'm here to it, and it's like, you feel the pressure. So I'm sure this is, 400 men he's looking at his little bitty group. It ain't to be compared. And Yaakov was greatly afraid and distressed. So he divided the people that were with him, and the flocks and the herds and the camel, into two groups. Fear, this is what fear does. It'll cause you, first, it gets in your mind. And then once it bombards your mind, it gets on you, it gets in you, and you start trembling. He said he was greatly afraid. And he's, it's like you can see fear when you're looking out, you see the 400 men, they probably look like 800. Because they just, look, when you read about the life of Esau, he was no slouch. Look, when a man can kill three men, According to the book of Jasher, he killed Nimrod and two of Nimrod's guards that were with Nimrod. And you wonder why he came to Yaakov in the tent. Look, I'm about to faint. I'm about to die. You have to know the rest of the story, like Paul Harvey said. You need the rest of the story, because this is what happened. He fought three men and killed them. So Esau come with his men. These ain't no slouch guys. So what did he do? The fear will cause you to get in a panic. Today when I got on the boat, let me tell you what I done. It was socked in fog today. I kid you not. You know, them guys tell me, say, look, man, Cap, you sure we want to go? I tell you them, when I all got in the boat, when I took off, before I pulled out the slip, I said, let me tell you right now, let me tell you the boat rules. Do not panic. I said, until I panic, then you can panic. But then, man, do not panic. I said, if y'all good with that, we going out. So he said, okay, Cap. There you go. Don't panic. But you can see this right here. He's about to panic. He's panicking so bad. What he does, he divides. This is what fear does. Just look around. Not only in Yaakov's life, it's in our life today. Fear will divide you. It divides family. It divides you with friends. Everybody's got your back until it's about to go down. Then you make decisions. You do things that you shouldn't even done. Let's see what Yaakov does. He divided into two groups. Yeah, I didn't tell him to do that. He already told him before, look, leave, go back. He already had a promise. He said, go back to your home. He said, I'm with you. We just read that. And he said, if Esau comes, it'll even cause you to talk crazy, because you say crazy stuff when you're in fear. I mean, just, look, your mind starts playing tricks on you. That's what it does. What fear is? Torment. It ain't from Yehovah. I can tell you that. So we know where it comes from. But we're going to get some more on it. And he said, if Esau comes to the one group and strikes it, then the other group, which is left, shall escape. Now, you got a little company of people with you. You got four wives. You got children with you. And you got just a handful of male slaves and female slaves. And you got 400 men coming at you. I'm going to divide them in two groups. What happens if Esau divides in two groups? Then what? Who's going to escape? You cannot escape. And this is what Yah is going to teach him by striking him on the hip. To where you can't run. Then you got to face your fear, face your enemy. When it's uncomfortable. But he don't leave us powerless. He don't send you to war without nothing. He don't put you on the front lines of here. He said, when you haven't done all, you stand. Because he's with you. And Yaakov said, this is where he should have started off right here. But what he did, he divided the camps. And then he goes, Yaakov said, oh my father. Why not just start with that from the get-go? Oh Elohim of my father Abraham, and Elohim of my father Yitzhak, Yehovah, you said to me, he's reminding God, like God needs reminding. But he just want to tell him, because he's what? He's in fear. And not only his life, the life of his family. But what he does, he divides them. Return to your land and to your relatives, and I do good to you. Yah told him this. He's reminding Yah of his words. Yah knows. That's why he got you in this place. He's telling you to go back. But he's for some reason he feels to remind God, but he should have started with that. I do not deserve the least of all the loving commitment and all the truth that you have shown your servant. I think that should be part of our prayer life. We don't deserve. And that's some scripture later on we're going to read. Probably tomorrow, and then we'll get on all that. But we don't deserve, but he loves us. His loving commitment. And all the truth which you have shown your servant. For I passed over this Jordan with my staff, and now I have become two groups. That's funny. But you know, when you read it, you think about it, it's like, you know, you read a story, it almost seems like a cartoon almost. But he telling God, now I'm two groups. How you? And I can see Yah like, well, why are you two groups? But he's just, that's what fear does. It'll cause you to do things that you're not thinking right. Look at that man that fell overboard last week or whatever it was in the Gulf over there. For, what, 15 hours, whatever they say it was? He survived. Falling off the ship out of Alpha Southwest Pass. But if he, you know what? At least he had no sense. How he survived? I don't know. That was a miracle. But he did survive. But you think of some people that panic, that really panic, they lose out. And this is what the Torah teaches you. The Torah teaches, don't panic. Don't be in fear. I'm with you. I'm here to guard you. I'm here to keep you. If wherever you go, I'm here. David said, even though I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. That's not my word. He's a word that we got to remember. We got to remember his word, what he tells us, what he promises. He said, deliver me, I pray, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him. Why? He feared him. Because he think about that moment, that time in his tent with his daddy. Are you my son Esau? Yep. But he don't know that Yah planned that like that. That was foretold that he was going to be the Yaqid son, the chosen one. Lest he coming shall strike me and the mother with the children. He's afraid for everything that he owns. Think that Esau is going to just kill them all. For you said, this is where we got to be careful with our words. We got to make sure. When Yah tells us something, we better make sure it's from him. We can't just say things, well, thus said the Lord. Better make sure it's his words that we're repeating, that he told us to say, not just stuff on our own that can bring harm to our family, our loved ones. For you said, verse 12, I shall certainly do good to you and shall make your seed as the sand of the sea, which are too numerous to count. What puzzles me, he's had these promises. He's remembering now, but he's still in fear for his life. Well, if Yah's promising you all this, I don't understand. Why are you in fear? But this is what, when you don't lock eyes, so this is what Yah, out of something that stone in that character, that he got to reach down there and pull out of Yaakov. This is what Yah wants to do in his life. This is what it's doing in our lives. Not only just fear, whatever we suffer from, whatever illness and ails, whatever it is. For you said, I shall certainly do good to you, and shall make your seed as the sands of the sea, which are too numerous to count. And he spent the night there, and took what came to his hand as a present for Esau, his brother. Now, this was no small gift for your brother. But he was wise, because we know what he did with Laban, how he knows how to multiply and make flocks. And he knows that Esau is a man of the field. So when he sees this gift, hey, and he sees the multiplication of it, we know he accepts it. 200 female goats and 20 male goats. 200 ewes and 20 rams. So he knows the ratio that they're going to produce. 200 female goats and 20, 10 to 1. So he's doing the math here, because he gives specific detail on what he's sending, because he knows he's going to produce for his brother to appease him. And he gave them into the hand of his servant, every drove by itself, and said to his servants, pass over before me and put some distance between drove and drove. Huh? Oh, my bad. 200 female goats. I don't know how I jumped like that. And 200 female goats and 20 male goats, 200 ewes and 20 rams, 30 suckling camels with their coats, 40 cows and 10 bulls, 20 female donkeys and 10 foals. So you can see right here, I think it's 500 and something animals. It's in the slide. We'll get to it. And he gave into the hand of his servant every drove by itself, and said to his servant, pass over before me, and put some distance between drove and drove. And he commanded the first one, saying, when Esau, my brother, meets you, and asks you, saying, to whom do you belong, and where are you going, and who are these in front of you? Then you shall say, they are your servant Yaakov. It is a present sent to my master Esau. And see, he also is behind us. So he commanded the second and the third, and all who followed the drove, saying, speak to Esau the same word when you find him. And you shall say also, look, your servant Yaakov is behind us. For he said, let me appease him with the present that goes before me, and after that, see his face. He might accept me. And the present passed over before him, but he himself spent the night in the camp. So we can see that where the story is going, that he's trying to basically almost a little bribe to try to, man, if I send him a bunch of gifts. Look, we can do that. We can do that today. When somebody don't, you know, you haven't seen them in a long time, what do? You bring gifts, and maybe they'll accept you. People do that today, just to be liked, or kind of accept back into the family. All right, now we'll go back to our slides. We just had to stop right there, because I don't want to go too far ahead, because the slides had to catch up so we can match the story. So, slide 8. Genesis 32:1. And Yaakov went on his way, and the messenger of Elohim met him. And when Yaakov saw them, he said, this is the camp of Elohim. And he called the name of the place Mahanaim, Hanaim. And Yaakov sent messengers before him to Esau of his brother, land of Seir, in the field of Edom. Sorry about that, y'all. There we go. And Yaakov went on his way, and the messengers of Elohim met him. And when Yaakov saw them, he said, this is the camp of Elohim. And he called the name of the place Mahanaim. And Yaakov sent messengers before him to Esau's brother in the land of Seir in the field of Edom. Did I just read that one? Yeah. So, it didn't switch. And he commanded them, saying, say this to my master Esau. Your servant Yaakov said this. I have sojourned with Laban and stayed there until now. I have bulls and donkeys, flocks, and male and female servants, and I have sent to inform my master to find favor in your eyes. Yaakov had now left Laban and was headed home, and this week's Torah portion is called Vayishla, which means, and he sent, and comes from the root word Shalah, Strong's 79:71, which means to send, bid farewell, let go, put forth, stretch out, direct, urgently send. He's ready to go home. I say, look, it's time. Yah said, it's time for you to go. It's time to go. When he told Abraham, look, you got to leave your kindred, your people, and go to the land with it. The Bible said he got out of there. So, you know, when Yah gives a command, look, we need to be hasty about it. It's just Lot. We just learned from Lot a few Torah portions ago. Look, get out of here. We're about to destroy the city. You need to go. In Bereshit 31:11, we see that Yaakov had left Laban, and when they met by the messengers of Elohim, he called the place Mahanaim, Strong's 4266, which means two camps. That's what that word means. It's a little tricky. Even though I listened to it a few times, it's still tricky to say it. And as we see in the text, next Torah portion, it was from here that he divided his family into two groups in order to meet his brother Esau with Shalom. And in many ways, picture the prophetic picture of the fullness of Yisrael's two camps, house of Yisrael and house of Yehuda, being fully provided for in Messiah, as pictured by Yosef. And that's going to be some good stuff. I can't wait till Pastor gets back to get on Yosef. But here he is, two camps. Why? For fear. You can't think right. When you're in a place and fear grips you, your thinking gets squirrely. You start chasing squirrels. You can't squirrel. It'll cause you to do stuff that you can't focus correctly. Now, look, you got to take a step back and call upon him. This is what the first, he should have just cried out. If you were that much in fear, but Yah's got to get this character out of him. And let me tell you, fear, I was looking at it, I was pulling it up. And it's mentioned, the word fear is mentioned over 500 times in the scripture. It's the enemy's greatest weapon. I couldn't find another one greater than what he used is fear. And we know fear grips everybody around the world. When 9/11 hit, everybody was in a panic. Oh, you got armed people? Look, just the other day, we got one of our boats. I know it wasn't on the news or nothing, but it's on my phone. We got one of our boats working up the road up there in Lake Maurepas. We got a guy that's on there. He's a private, what's the word, babe? Security. Private security. He's out there with his AK. The people out there making a big old stink about it. Like, what's going on here? Why did they come out there with their own deputy? And people get in fear and panic, want to know what's going on. Hey, this happens around the world. So fear, love. When I say the enemy's greatest weapon, it is. It'll cause people to run out of here. I ain't going here. If the word fear is Yahweh, I roll this down. I don't even know, Pastor even had this in the slides. We're going to come across it again, but I'm going to give it to you. It's my slides first. It's H3372. And it means to fear, be afraid, to stand in awe of, or be awed, to fear, reverence, honor, respect. That's in the Kale, in the Kale form, Kale, Q-A-L, in the Nipfield form, to be fearful, be dreadful, or feared. I think that's where Yaakov was right here. To cause astonishment and awe, be held in awe, to inspire reverence or godly fear or awe. And the pale is to make afraid, terrify. So let me tell you, when you look in scripture, you can see there's a lot of stories when people are in fear. Gideon's one of them. Lord, if you with me, you go tear down these asherim. You know how long they've been here? My grandpa put that up. You think I want to go tear that down? Yeah, he was afraid. Right. Fear. So look, Yah will put you in some spot, not to hurt you, just to test you, to test your character, to see how you will react, how you will respond. That's why it's to make us better. It doesn't make you weaker. And don't get me wrong, you're going to be in fear sometime. It's just a natural thing, especially when disaster hits or when you're in an accident. It's fear. It's the first thing that grips you, and it grips your mind, and you just, this is what Yaakov done. He can't think. He's so squirrely right here. He divides his family up. You don't want to do that. Last thing you want to do is divide. Our families are small enough. We already divided, one side and that side. We're in the house together though, so that's not. Take it the wrong way, but anyway, but that's what it'll do to you. It'll cause you to lose out with family and friends. With the first time we see fear in scripture, it was in Bereshit. When we heard your voice, Father, we heard you coming, but we was afraid. That's in Bereshit 3:10. Why? Why are you afraid? I used to come here. We met every day. We met here all the time. Why are you afraid? Today you're afraid? It's the first time we see fear mentioned. It wasn't from Yehovah. They were used to seeing him. The animals were used to seeing him. Now, look. So that little frog was scaring Sister Hillary a little while ago. You knew that was coming, huh? We just don't like it touching us. That's what it is. I said we. But look, when it comes to some animals like dogs that I don't know, I respect them. And I am afraid of them. Have you ever been bit before? I have, as a young boy. Trust me, he wasn't nice. So ever since then, I've been afraid. So, there's a few things, but it's not about me. That I don't like, that I'm afraid of. And one of them is strange water. but I've been on water all my life. That's all I ever done. You know, buy a trawl boat. You got to go overboard. Oh, boy. You know. But anyway. Fear comes in all different shapes, size, and color. That's what the point about the story, this part of the message is. It just, like I said, you don't think right. You don't act right. You're out of character. And when we look at Yehovah's character, and we look at Yeshua's character, I never see he was afraid of anything or anyone. I mean, he escaped the crowd to avoid being stoned because it wasn't his time. Not because he's afraid of them. Well, even to the point where he'd be crazy, he said, you don't think my father, if I call upon, he would send a legion of angels, 12 legion of angels? He ain't afraid. So we have great stories to learn about, but this is what fear does to people. Look, if you don't believe me, just go home tonight. When you get home, just turn your TV on. I don't have to tell you. This is worldwide. In the churches, inside the wall, outside the wall, it's all around you. It's how it's going to be our character. In the end, we're going to get to, I think I got it in my, yeah, I got it. We're going to try to get to it. We got some scripture there. It's very important stuff. We're going to see what fear does. So, from this point, Yaakov sent messengers ahead of him to his brother Esau, in a style of humility that was done as a means to have some form of reconciliation and meet in peace. Seir, Strong 8165, is a mountain range in Edom that lies south of the Dead Sea, and the name means shaggy, hairy, which comes from the word Seir, Strong 8181, which means hairy, hair and hairy. So we can see how Esau dwelled there. He looked just like he dwelled, hairy. Shaggy, he come out as a baby, come out all full of hair, all red. He probably looks just like that, like Seir. And he dwelled there. As Yaakov nears home, he is filled with memories of his dealing with his brother Esau and how his brother had hated him and wanted to kill him. And therefore he sends a very humble message to his brother, and even calls himself a servant of his brother. You think he's trying to show humility? Because he is in dread of Esau. And you know, he knows about the story. I'm sure Esau, you know, well, it's not written, but I'm sure Esau may have told him about it. Look, this is what I just come from. This is what I just done. Like I said, you got to go read the book of Jasher to get all these extra biblical read that it's not recorded. But anyway, he was a man's man. He could fight. And what we can glean from this is that while Yaakov may have certainly been very unsure of how his brother would react in seeing him again, and while he was greatly afraid of the prospect of encountering his brother, he sends forth gifts in advance as a means to appease his brother with the hope of returning away any of his wrath. In Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turns away wrath, but harsh words stir up displeasure. Now, for us men in here, we know about that. Us married men. If we don't know, we should have. We got to go back to the beginning. We should have learnt this already. Sometimes we're a little slow at times. And y'all ladies too. A soft answer turns away wrath. Sometimes we get a little overreacting when we hear something. Right away we jump the broom or jump the gun. Just hold tight. But that's something we all need to practice. Here, Shlomo identifies the power of one's word and contrasts the clear difference between a soft answer and a harsh word. We just know that from last week. What happened? Give me a baby or else I die. Am I in the place of Elohim? You can hear this going on in the tent. This is what was happening. So don't think this is just today. It's been going on ever since the garden. Ever since they took from that tree and sin entered in. What do you think the first argument probably started? The woman you gave me. Okay. All right. A soft answer. The Hebrew word that's translated as soft comes from the root word rak. Strong's H7390, which means tender, delicate, soft, frail, inexperienced, timid. And it's often used in describing the character of a person. So these are some good character traits that we, as a body, as a church, we should be practicing. And what is one of the first places you practice that? On your spouse, on your children, on your grandchildren. Some of these things we should be learning at home. Because if you bring home here, this is how you're going to act. Ain't that right, babe? That's what I'm talking about. Dawid said of Shlomo the following in Debri Hayamin Aleph, 1 Chronicles 22:5. And Dawid said, Shlomo, my son, is young and tender, and the house that is to be built for Yehovah is to be exceedingly great, for a splendid name to all the lands. Please let me make preparation for it. So Dawid made extensive preparation before his death. So this scripture, me and my wife were talking about this, was it this morning? She said, man, I don't even know how this scripture fits in here. I said, well, I'm going to tell you what you got to do. You got to take that scripture, you got to go to Matthew, go left to Matthew, and you got to read it in its context. You know, and some of these, I know that's in here, if you're having trouble understanding, what you got to do, you got to go back and read the whole chapter. Or maybe even two chapters to understand what they're saying here in the slide. Because I know they just piece them in here, and sometimes they don't see like it fit, but it does. It's part of the puzzle that it does fit. We don't have to whittle it; just try to make it fit. It fits in here, but you got to go back and take time out. This is what homework is. Amen. All right. Make sure you're still with me. The Hebrew word that's translated as answer is Mahanayim. Strong's H4617, which means an answer, response, and comes from the root verb ana, Strong's H6030, which means to sing, utter tunefully, be occupied with, cry. This word is used 329 times and relates to giving an answer, testifying as well as shouting with joy, often as a response to being a faithful witness. These are all principles for us to be learning how to respond correctly. A soft answer turns away wrath. We have this, like I said, every year we go through this, and we're being refined every year. So we should be getting better, not worse, better. Sometimes it's just good to sing. Doop, dee, doop, 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 dee, doop, doop. That's a little private one here, y'all. Utter tunefully, be occupied with a cry. Like I said, because it brings joy to your heart. But do it for the right reasons. And Hosea 2, 14 and 15. Therefore, see, I am alluring her. Listen to what Yehovah is saying to his chosen ones. He's still saying that today. And I shall lead her into the wilderness. Where did Israel go? Into the wilderness. And shall speak to her heart. You know, when we first dating, this is kind of like where we're at. You know. This is love poetry. Poetry, I guess. Love poetry, baby. Poetry. And give to her vineyards from there, the valley of Achor, as a door of expectation. That's interesting. I had to go look that up. And there she shall respond as in the days of her youth, as in the day when she came up from the land of Mitzrayim. This is Yah just pouring out to his chosen ones. He's alluring her. He's trying to get her out of the junk and come over here. That's why the book of Song of Solomon is so poetic. And we see this little bit of poetry right here that Yah is speaking through the prophet Hosea. He's pouring out his love to his people. And he's still doing it today. Here in Hosea, it is translated as respond. And in the King James Version, KJV, it is translated as sing. And we are able to learn from this the clear picture of the true response of a bride that has been led into the wilderness in order to hear the sweet, tender words from her husband and king. Is he your husband and king? Allow him to speak. I'm sure he don't wake up in the morning. What you did today, Preston? He don't speak to us like that. Look at you, Scott. I'm gonna use me too, Pop. I ain't gonna use only you. You know. It's not Yah's character. It shouldn't be our character. We should be able to respond to one another. Just the way he's responding. Let's just take the Yeshua, our greatest example. How his response was at time. But when you got some religious folks that sometimes you brood of vipers. And sometimes or other, I can imagine he kind of really got anything, but he did it in a respectful way, not to disrespect. I'm trying to tell you, don't do it that way. That's what he's trying to really tell them. A soft answer, therefore, speaks of a response that is done in a tender and delicate manner, which certainly does not show weakness, but rather mature strength in the word. And that's what the word wants to do. He wants to soften our hearts. The scripture says he wants to remove that old heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh and something that's tender and speak kindly to your heart. And how he does that? Through his word. And we know without the word, without it, we close the door, turn the lights off. So what are we here for? Not here because of me. I can promise you. You shouldn't be here because of pastor. You should be here because you love him. This is why you're here tonight. But it's Shabbat. He ordained this. The Psalms 118:24 says, this is the day that he has made. Amen. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. In this day, in this time. I had my time for 6 days. I could have did all what I want. I didn't have to study. But because I love him. You know, this is why we do what we do. This is why we're at. Because you're showing him your faithfulness. This is why he blesses you when you go out, when your fishing group tells you, man, we caught fish yesterday and your heart's in your throat today. And then what he does, he blesses you, what you asked for. See, this is what he does. He's faithful to the faithful. And you have to show him that. He just don't fall. Just going to, you ask for your daily bread. You want him just to put it in your lap? Literally? Got to get out and do something. What we do matter. And people are watching. Trust me, they're watching your every move. How often do we find ourselves reacting in an aggressive manner to words or actions that we did not like or approve of? I've done that. Reaching in a harsh manner as opposed to a tender and delicate one can fuel a fire of displeasure and start a verbal or even physical battle that only leads to harm and loss. We're experiencing that right now in our church. Trust me, it ain't from Jehovah. It ain't his fault. But this is what happens. And you know, when a little discussion, when you make just a little small fire, it starts out strong. Unless you make a fire like AJ. You know? Because only AJ can make a fire. But you make a little fire, and you just add a little fuel to it, and it don't, it'll, take a little flame like we got here, our menorah. Throw a little gasoline. You see what happened? Voof. And that's what the same thing harsh words does. You know, it can excel to that. Well, we needed this teaching 30 years ago. Fire of displeasure, start a verbal, physical battle, even loss. You get families that fuss and fight for years, don't talk. For years. Grew up in the same household. With Shlomo telling us that a soft answer turns away wrath, we can and must learn how important to respond to an aggression is. So this is what Esau is feeling. Maybe I can just loosen him up, soften him up, spray a little WD-40 in his joint. Might loosen him up a little bit because he's coming with 400 men. This is what he's so afraid of, babe. There may be time when someone comes to you with harshness and malicious intent. And the best way to turn the wrath away is to give a soft answer. Tender, delicate, and controlled response. As opposed to an irrational response that is done with harshness. Look, if you, they come to you with a bunch of nonsense, and you get turned around and give them a bunch of nonsense, it's not going to go well. If you're going to do that, it's best not to say nothing at all. If you have nothing nice to say, don't say nothing at all. Because why? The scripture says, if your enemy is hungry, you feed him. If he's thirsty, you give him something to drink. It's not my words. This is what we need, stuff we need to learn. This is for our learning. And respond with kindness. Put a smile. This is great stuff. Look, I'm going to tell you, when I'm sitting down myself at the time, I read through this, I amuse my own self. I laugh. I say, okay, this is good. And I say, yeah, you just remind me, because I have fun with it. I really do. I sit down more and I'm going to tell you, my best times is when all this week, I made it my purpose to get up 2 hours earlier. So I sit down for a whole hour every morning by the table, and I sit there and just go through and listen, and I just kind of talk to myself. But this morning I was interrupted with somebody, but I still had a great time. I was surprised she got up that early in the morning. And we enjoyed our little comment, and still drank my coffee, and still went through my studies. Oh, boy. They were, we ain't doing that 4 o'clock tomorrow morning. Well, I say that, you know, look. Sometimes when I'm in there, because I'm so used to now, and then, yeah, you can hear it. You start playing the message in your head. With the sending of messengers before him, Yaakov was taking a prudent precaution in order to properly ascertain the present temper of Esau. How do you react when you remember the wrong dealings that you had with someone close, even a family member? You might write that down. Say that for a bit rash. Yeah, because when it comes to family, those are the hardest person to get through to. Even Yeshua said, those of your household are your enemies. He said these words. And it's true. You start talking different, acting different, wearing your tzitzis, growing beards, eating clean, kosher, you become an outcast a little bit. You're not the favorite. You're more on the crazy side. That's okay. Had a guy come sit on the boat today. Boy, and look, when I pull up to the boat, the tugboat, and I can tell he's a, somebody from the bayou over there. Man, they pull up and he get alongside the boat over there, and boy, and the smell. He's cooking a gumbo. And I can smell the scrimps. Like Andy would say, the scrimps. And I knew you could see the whiff of it. It's like, oh, I don't really want to tie right here. I got to smell this every time I come outside. So I said, man, Cap, I said, I can tell you what. Not too often, I said, I come out here and I smell something real good cooking. And you can smell just the roux and all that. Anyway, I said, I go back in the boat. He chats with me throughout the day. And then I eat my sandwich, my chicken sandwich. And then I start reading a little bit, and you know, the chicken starts fluffing in my eyes a little bit, so I got to just rest them. Between the chicken and the roux, it kind of gets them. So anyway, I sit in there, I take a little cat nap. Long story short, he comes a little later on, and he comes sit in the boat. He said, hey, Captain. I said, what's that? He said, I got the gumbo and everything cooking there. You want a shrimp gumbo and other stuff? I said, I don't eat shrimp. You don't eat shrimp? No, sir. I said, look, I follow this strict dietary law of scripture. And I said, it's what I believe to be true. So I don't eat any shrimp. Nor do I eat crabs and oysters. He's like, you don't eat that either? No. I said, I eat just fish. Oh, well, tomorrow we're going to have red meat and cat. I said, I don't eat catfish. He just looked at me and like, really? I said, hey. I said, I don't. I said, there was a time in my life I did. I said, but I don't anymore. I said, if it don't have scales, I said, 9 out of 10, your fish is going to have fins. Every fish I know has got fins, but it's got to have scales. It's got to have both. I said, if it don't have the scales, I don't eat it. And so I kind of got disturbed, so that was the end of our conversation. But nobody wouldn't even know that I done it. I could have tried to hide it. He knows. He knows. He's watching. He hears. So it's how we react in dealing in situations when you're going to make a stand for him. Especially when it comes to family members. Yaakov was afraid of his own life and the life of his family, as it had been 20 years since he had seen 20 years since he had left home after fleeing the wrath of his brother. So many today live in fear of their past sins. This is why I said, when I'm up here, you're sweating, and I get that feeling, that nervousing. This is that slide. So many people today live in fear of their past sins, and here, in preparing for the worst, Yaakov, in distress, divides his people into two groups so that if the one group was attacked by an angry brother, the other could escape. So if I'm Esau and I'm the other brother, well, he divided, I'm going to divide mine. We got 200. So where are you going to run? Trust me, you got to be a little more crafty than the enemy. A lot more crafty. You have to be smarter. And all you can do that is to go to the Word. Because that's, you have no other weapon that can defeat him. This is what Yeshua used. So if he used it, what do you think we ought to use it too? What do you do when facing the prospect of facing past enemies? And I hope for today that we don't have any past enemies. Because the scriptures say, live at peace. Yaakov did not inquire of Yehovah. That's what he should have started with first. But he did fear. When that fear came upon him, let's split up. Kind of like the Scooby-Doo cartoon when they go looking for the let's split up. And they put Scooby and Shaggy together. The two scariest one in the cartoon. That's the first thing they say every time. Let's split up. it's somehow that, look, the world can put stuff out there, and no matter if it's in a cartoon, I know it sounds funny, but go watch it. You'll see. Let's split up. This is what y'all go to. Let's split the family up. Come on now. Y- Yaakov did not inquire of Yehovah, and so we take note that it was Yaakov who divided the people into two groups, and not Elohim. If Yaakov had simply sought the face of Yehovah, I am sure that he would have saved himself a great deal of stressful planning and scheming. He was almost worried himself sick. And that's what another thing that fear does to you. You worry yourself sick to death, you die. And then, that's the teaching that talks about Sarah. It's kind of like we said what happened to when she didn't see Yitzhak come back with Abraham, and the enemy lied to her. But you got to go read all this extra biblical writing. And I'm sure she's like Yaakov. I know they don't say it, but she's probably like Yaakov. Huh, Abraham. Honey, I see you got the fire. I see you got everything. You're not taking the lamb. Yaakov recognized it. Yitzhak recognized it. So you don't think Sarah, she recognized it too. So you see your husband come back and you don't have your boy, your only son. I imagine she stress and worries. But that's another teaching. Many of us today do the same when facing a seeming price crisis, and that we often try to work out various plans and strategies instead of seeking wisdom from Yehovah and trusting His sure word that must guide our every step. What number? Let me see what number I'm on, because I don't want. Oh, almost. That was 24. I jumped one. Well, look, so what I want to do is just take a break right here from the slide for a moment and look at some scripture. It talks about fear and how we should not be in dread and in panic. And these are going to be a few, so you're going to write them down. But I won't take the time. We'll go and look them up and read them up. So whatever you have, your tablet. Let me see if I can give you all some encouraging scriptures. In Bereshit 50. Through 21. And Yosef said to them, "Do not fear, for I am in the place of Elohim." We know the story. This is coming up. "And you intended evil against me, but Elohim intended it for good, in order to do it as it is this day, to keep a great many people alive." That's encouraging. Don't fear. He said, what you meant, you threw me in the pit and you sold me and all that. Look, it's okay. You forget? I forgive you. He said, he's not holding bitterness. He said, look, what you meant for evil, I turned it for good, to preserve the life. That's what we're going to see, that Yosef is a type and shadow of Messiah. "And now do not fear." What are we talking about tonight? Fear. "Do not fear. I provide for you and your little ones." So he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. He didn't speak rough and hard. Kindly. After being sold by all your brothers and thrown in a pit, and no, he spoke kindly to them. "And Yehovah put me in this place." That's such a good scripture. In Devarim 3. We're gonna. Chapter 3, verses 22. "Do not fear them, for Yehovah Elohim himself fights for you." How awesome is that? Don't fear. And Joshua, chapter 8, verse 1. I like this scripture. "And Yehovah said to Joshua, do not be afraid, nor be discouraged. Take all the soldiers with you and arise and go up to Ai, and see, I have given into your hand the sovereign Ai, and his people and his city and his land." It's all yours, Yehoshua. I'm giving it all. Don't fear him. Let's see, that was number 3. As I was writing them down, to go back and put numbers on them, so I got to go back and watch all my numbers. In Psalms, the book of Psalms, there's so many in here. We got a few of them to look at. That's the famous one. Psalms 23, verse 4. When I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. What did Yaakov say when I crossed it? All I had was my staff. See how these scriptures come to life? When you go back and you do your homework, this is the stuff that rehearses in your mind, in your sleep, when you wake up. This is on your brain. That's how we should be programmed. Psalms 27. Verse 1. Yehovah is my light and my deliverance. Whom should I fear? If he's your light and your deliverance, who are we afraid of? Esau? Yehovah is the refuge of my life. Who should I dread? When evildoers come against me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and my enemies, they shall stumble and fall. Take that. That's what he's saying. Though an army camps against me, my heart does not fear. Yaakov could have had that scripture at the time when he saw that. I don't think he would have been so much in a panic like he was. Though battle comes up against me, even then I would be trusting. Hallelujah. Psalms 34. Verse number 4. This is the Dalit. I sought Yehovah, and he answered me and delivered me from some of my fears. Is that what your Bible says? All of our fear. He delivered from all of our fear. We gotta program ourselves. Psalms 56. Verse number 3. In the day I am afraid, I trust in you. See, that's not fear is gonna come. You're not going to be all that. You're not going to be all this all the time. I promise you. But the day when you are afraid, you trust in him. This is what he was trying to get to Yaakov, and that's going to be going to part two tomorrow. We're going to get to that. In Yeshayahu, Isaiah 41:13. For I, Yehovah, your Elohim, am strengthening your right hand, saying to you, do not fear, I shall help you. It was time these people were in a bind, you hear? They needed Yehovah. They knew how to get in contact with him. We got to go back and read these stories. I know I'm just cherry picking them, but you got to go back and read the stories. All right. We're going to move on. That was number 8. Okay, let's go to the Brit Hadashah. You know, these were all Old Testament scriptures. So let's go see what the New Testament says for all our New Testament followers. And of course, we got to go to Matthew chapter 10. Let's see if Yeshua said anything different that his father would have said. Matthew chapter 10, 26. He said, therefore, do not fear them, for whatever is covered shall be revealed, and whatever is hidden shall be made known. What I say to you in the dark, speak in the light. We don't have to hide. You ain't got to be afraid. That's the problem, is you ain't got to. I'm about to go to school with Sister Lane and learn English all over again. And what you hear in the ear, proclaim on the housetop. And do not fear those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the being. But rather, fear him who's able to destroy both being and body in Gehenna. In the English, that would be hell. See, this stuff's real good. Really, really good. Let me tell you, they had so many scriptures to go through. I really had to kind of just pick just a few here and there just to kind of keep y'all encouraged and keep y'all awake. I promise, we're getting down to the end. Let's go to Luke. Let's go see a different type of fear here. Luke 2:10. Oh, not this one yet. In Luke 2:10, and the messenger said to them, "Do not be afraid, for look, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be to all people." Don't be afraid. Here he goes talking to the shepherds. Like he's talking to us shepherds today. I'm bringing you good news of great joy. No. Oh, no. Luke 12, 32. "Do not fear, little flock." Are we all here? Just a little flock. "Because your Father did delight to give you the rain." Ooh. Huh? I hope y'all writing these down. Go back and look at them. You ain't gonna sleep tonight. Huh. This is the one. Luke 21. Verse 25. Let's see another type of fear. "And there shall be signs in the sun and moon and stars, and on the earth anxiety of nations in bewilderment at the roaring of the sea and agitation, men fainting from fear." Oh, I wonder why. "And expectation of what is coming on the earth, for the powers of the heaven shall be shaken." Why are you in fear? It's the king coming. You shouldn't be in fear. The king is coming. But there's some people, they're going to be in fear. Because why? They wasn't obeying. They wasn't here on Shabbat. They wasn't here on Wednesday when they should be learning in the yeshiva. They wasn't here on Shabbat day, on his prescribed day that he set since the beginning of time. That's why their hearts are failing. That's why they're in agitation. That's why they're scared. Scared. Just thought I'd throw that in there. Why? Because then they shall see the Son of Adam coming in a cloud with power and much esteem. "And when these matters begin to take place, look up and lift up your head, because your redemption draws nigh." Woo-hoo! Well, you win right there. You got to hold on, though. You hold on. Why your heart fail? My heart ain't failing when this coming. I'm happy. My job, I'd be like Paul. I run the race. I finished the course. I've kept the faith. This is what we got to do. Wrapping it up. In Philippians 2. Almost done. "So that, my beloved, as you always obeyed." What? Obey. That's the key. "Not only in my presence, but now much rather in my absence, working out your own deliverance with fear and trembling." Yeshua telling you, just because I'm here or I'm not here. So whether the pastor's here or not here, you should be here. You want to use his name. You want to slander his name, but you're not here. "In your name we did these things, Master. In your name we cast out demons and prophesied," but you're not here. And Yohanan Aleph, 1 John 4:18. It's my last one. "There is no fear in love." When I go home and I'm next to my teat foam, There's no fear. My teeth foam. But perfect love cast out fear. Because why? Because fear brings torment. We got no torment between us two when we go home. That's not say all perfect love, but that's a lot of love. We're working on the perfection. But that's a lot of love. And there's no fear. We don't fear each other. Not anymore. In the beginning, it was a little squirrely. I ain't gonna lie about that. And Pop says, yeah, I already knew that. Yeah. All right, we wrap this up. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear because fear holds punishment or torment. This is what Yaakov was experiencing. And he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We got to work on our love. So, starting tonight, go home and practice. A soft answer turns away wrath. Work on our love. So, that's it for tonight. My 10-minute card came up. But look, I've been kind of rehearsing this for quite a few days. And look, it's exciting. I can't wait for tomorrow. Tomorrow just goes on, and I don't have quite as much scripture to go through, but who knows? We'll see where it leads us. But let's remember our pastor. Remember those who are not here. We got some sick, little stuff going around, little colds and sniffles, and let's remember our family. And I don't know if anybody else, if we have any prayer requests, we good?